today to escape war-torn Gaza. White House National Security Spokesman John Kirby says safe passage is the focus.
Embassy Cairo has deployed a consular team to the Rafah crossing to support all these folks, make sure they get back to the embassy, and then we work with them on onward movement as appropriate.
Five Americans were allowed to leave yesterday. Former Memphis cop Desmond Mills pleaded guilty today to state and federal charges in the death of Tyree Nichols. Nichols' father, Rodney Wells.
This is the first domino to fall.
Four more former officers face similar charges. They're set to go to trial next year. And more than a dozen people were injured today when a house blew up in Wappinger Falls, New York.
10 minutes after being home, that's when we heard like the whole house shook like a bang.
Investigators say a construction crew accidentally cut a gas line there. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers admits he hasn't visited any state prisons recently, even though three inmates have died in 4 months. Prisoners in Waupun, Green Bay, and Stanley have had to stay in their cells around the clock since March due to staffing shortages. Families say they're concerned about their mental and physical health. Evers says his corrections secretary visits the Waupun prison every day. A group that wants Wisconsin's elections administrator impeached is setting its sights on Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, a new TV and newspaper advertisements in Milwaukee. The ads are paid for by a group calling itself the Wisconsin Elections Committee, based in Racine County. It makes debunked claims against Megan Wolf and threatens to unseat Voss if he doesn't impeach her. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Human remains have been found on the Menominee Indian Reservation in Kashina. Here's Pete Schwabe with more details.
The Menominee Tribal Police Department says a hunter found the remains in a wooded area on Monday, October 30th. Menominee authorities will partner with the FBI as they try to identify the victim and how they died. Authorities say the community is not believed to be in any danger.
Portage County experienced unprecedented demand during the electric and small appliance recycling event in October. People were lined up for hours and many were turned away. They're holding a Take Two recycling event on Saturday, December 2nd. This time you must register by December 1st to drop off items. Residents of Portage County can bring a maximum of 20 items per vehicle and you must arrive during your scheduled time slot. Visit co.portage.wi.gov to register. Time slots are already booking up. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News. You don't know
my garden. Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Raptors dominate the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Milwaukee took on the Raptors last night in Toronto and ran into a buzzsaw. The final 130-111 in favor of Toronto. Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin was an assistant coach for the Raptors. Before that, a longtime NBA player. Bucks point guard Damian Lillard says players appreciate that.
I think anytime you have a former player as a coach, you automatically are one with them. You know, they understand our day-to-day. They understand our lives. They understand, you know, what goes into this game.
The Bucks are now 2-2. They host the Knicks tomorrow night. NFL fallout from the Packers' decision to trade starting defensive back Rasul Douglas to the Buffalo Bills in exchange for a third-round draft pick. I asked Matt LaFleur if Douglas had stepped out of line as a vocal leader in the locker room.
Now I want to shut that down right away. It has nothing to do. I think he's been a positive impact in that locker room. So absolutely not.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. 31 tonight under partly cloudy skies, southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for scattered showers tomorrow, 48. Lows around 26 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 45.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Celebrating 75 years.
We got something going here in Madison.
On the ice.
Shoots and scores again.
Against the boards.
He hangs on. Badgers kill off the major.
Between the pipes.
Redirect another fantastic stop.
This is Badger Hockey.
Shoots one, scores. Wow.
It's everything.
For the win, he shoots and scores.
Badger Hockey lives here.
Keep it going, baby.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening.
Three, two, one.
Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday that makes it Friday Eve. It's a happy hour, and your calls, they're always welcome here. This hour is for the lovers and the haters, Dom, at 844-967-2789.
But we don't have any haters, the lovers. Brittany. We're not trying hard enough. We don't get any haters. Come on.
They're just spineless and weak, Dom.
Okay.
You know what I take a little glee in? The Trump boys testifying in New York fraud trial today.
Excellent.
Couldn't have happened to a nicer pair. You know, the Beavis and Butthead of criminal fraud, Dom. While Trump's sons distanced themselves from the financial statements in a New York fraud trial testimony.
Those financial statements were just coffee boys.
Here's the interesting part before I dive in from the Ella Lee reporting at The Hill. You realize the fighting has already been a fraud.
Right.
This is not a jury trial. So to go out there and, make me look sexy, Don Jr. told the sketch artist. Well, that's all for show, Dom. Because the only jury in this trial at this point is Judge Ingeron, right? And the threshold is 50.01%. It's not beyond a reasonable doubt. It's just plus one. So keep that in mind as we learn about the testimony, the very evasive testimony of the Trump boys. And, you know, they could both theoretically face criminal charges for this stop. You know, this is a civil trial, but they didn't have to testify. In fact, they'd have been better off pleading the fifth. I don't want to testify. I want to keep my options open effectively. Against self-incrimination. I plead the Fifth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, as is my right to do. All citizens
have that right. And that is their right, but this is a civil case, and Judge Ingeron can then, you know, have a negative inference because of that.
He can throw out their credibility at his own discretion now, Dom. That is already at the judge's discretion.
Has a BS meter, and I don't think he's falling for what the brothers are saying.
But they are exposing themselves to criminal liability by giving testimony. So just keep that in mind. Dom, in back-to-back testimonies Thursday, former President Donald Trump's two adult sons, you know, Beavis and Butthead, distanced themselves from the Trump Organization financial statements, key to the New York Attorney General's case against their family business. both Don Jr. and Eric Trump denied any involvement in their father's financial statements, suggesting instead they relied on accountants and other experts to make sure the numbers were correct. Were they ever presented to you, boys? Did you sign them? Somebody signed the taxes. The Trump Organization statements of financial condition, which detail the value of various assets, were sent to banks and insurers to secure loans and deals, Dom, lots of deals, and are at the heart of the Attorney General's lawsuit, which claims the Trump Organization falsely inflated and deflated the value of its assets to receive lower taxes and better insurance coverage. And Trump's eldest son, Don Jr., testified yesterday that he signed off on the father's financial statements as an executive vice president of the Trump Org and trustee of the trust that held Trump's assets. Remember when he came out, the newly elected President Trump, and he had that lawyer in a big stack of stuff?
Yeah, lots of papers.
Lots of papers. Going to sign off. He was going to make himself beyond reproach, Don, by signing off on the family business. But then he put his two sons in charge, and his sons, apparently, by their own testimony, can't even read a spreadsheet, Don. So who was really in charge? Was it Weisselman?
Weisselberg.
My bad. Weisselberg. Here's one quote from Don Jr., and then I'll let you take it where you're going to, Dom. As a trustee, I have an obligation to listen to those who are expert, who have an expertise of these things, said Fredo Jr. Right? Like, it's not my job to understand anything but to be an active listener to those with the real expertise.
It works that way when you are the trustee, if you have a position of a power like that. The Hill goes on to state, Eric Trump, the former president's second son, also denied involvement, testifying that he never had anything to do with the statement of financial condition. But state lawyer Andrew Amer later pointed to a 2013 email Eric Trump received from another company executive asking for information needed to fill out Trump's financial statement, according to the AP. So you did know about your father's annual financial statement as of August 2013? The attorney asks. It appears that way, Eric Trump said. Trump's legal team has so far attempted to shift the blame for the statement's skewed numbers from the former president and his family onto the accountants who calculated them. Ex-Trump accountant Daniel Bender testified under cross-examination for nearly a full week at the start of the trial, where Trump's lawyers sought to portray him as negligent. During an argument over questions Trump's lawyers were asking Bender during the trial's first week, the judge said that the accountant is not on trial here. I would disagree with that, said Chris Keyes, Trump's attorney. His thoroughness, and he got paid millions a year to do. He was a certified public accountant. He has certain responsibilities. He seems to recall only what the government wants him to recall, Trump's attorney said. We need to be allowed to parse the evidence. You're not allowed to waste time, Ingram replied. That is what this is becoming. Even before the trial began, the judge found that Trump, the Trump Organization, and the Sons were liable for fraud, as Crudy mentioned, after ruling that the New York Attorney General's office had proved the crux of its case. The decision stripped some of Trump's business licenses and put at risk some of his famed properties, though an appeal court halted the cancellation of the licenses until after it hears the case. Trial will determine how much money the defendants owe. On Wednesday, an expert witness hired by the New York Attorney General's office testified that the Trump Organization ballooned financial statements may have cost banks more than $168 million. Of course, AG Tish James asking for $250 million in damages and penalties. Trump's expected to testify in the sprawling fraud trial next week.
You know how I heard it described, at least on the Twitter today? What's perjury that? Is on the menu.
Yeah.
And you know who's making that accusation against her cousin, Mary Trump? Mary Trump says cousin Eric lost the entire case at trial, and it was over the incident you just described, Dom. The ex-president's son, Eric, he's the smart one, gave up the entire case on behalf of the Trump Org at a trial hearing on Thursday, according to his cousin Mary. There's something about Mary, Dom. Mary Trump, Donald Trump's niece and a psychologist, has consistently criticized her uncle and his family business. She recently predicted that Ivanka would throw her father under the bus. Do you share that assessment with Mary Trump, Tom? When Ivanka, if forced to testify on Wednesday, Is she going to be candid or perjure herself? Because if she's candid,
she'll throw him under the bus. Yeah,
Danny's going under the bus. All 18 wheels, possibly.
I mean, come on, she's Trump's daughter, right? I mean, she is a Trump. If she smells blood in the water, and she has no option, why wouldn't she?
Here is what Mary Trump claimed today via Twitter, I guess. Eric testified today and basically just lost the entire case. I take a little glee at that. She noted that after testifying, he never heard about the Trump Org statement of financial condition until recently. He later admitted he knew about it in 2013. Recently would seem like 2023, but he knew about it a decade ago. So, yes, that would be a little perjury, right, Dom?
It seems hard to believe, and I find it very difficult to believe that this judge would accept what either of these guys are saying at the face value.
Well, here's what Mary Trump says. They lie so much they can't even keep track of their own, let's just say, BS, Dom.
Right.
She added Thursday, sounds like perjury is on today's menu.
Meat's back on the menu, boys. 844-967-2789. Dick from Madison, you're up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dick.
Well, you just stole it. They lie so much, they don't even remember what they said from one day to... I mean, here's another thing. He claims all this today, okay? I seem to remember Trump himself, after he got elected, saying, I'll no longer be able to do anything with my businesses. I'll be too busy. I won't. I'm turning it all over to the kids. I won't be able to golf anymore. Remember that?
Yeah, barely found time to golf, that guy.
Right, right. The poor guy. And, you know, so which is it? So the kid says he has nothing to do with it. The old man, when he took office, said, I'm turning this over to the kids. You know, you ought to maybe keep your story straight and talk to each other, which I don't think they're doing personally. And I think the only reason she won't, the daughter, throw him under the bus is I think she's going to slip the noose. I think she's going to be able to stall this out through appeals. And I predicted this to a friend of mine. Oh, no, she has to show. I said, she ain't going to show. She was originally supposed to be there this week.
And well, now it's next. She was originally supposed to be there as a defendant, Dick. So,
right. And she... I don't think she shows at all. I'm going to tell you that right now. I do not think she's going to have to testify. She'll.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm hoping you're wrong, Dick, so I cut you short. Didn't mean to.
Thanks, Dick.
I think that the Trump org will put forth a more credible senior VP or perhaps CEO. And I've got a candidate for you, Dom. You know, because if these Trump boys don't understand financial dealings, maybe. They should turn to someone with real credibility, like George Santos.
Santos, I knew you were on there.
It's a long windup for an obvious joke. But, you know, that's what we do here, at least sometimes. Dad jokes, welcome. Your calls, welcome. 844-967-2789. Don't let your kids grow up to be Trumpkins. Come back with us. Join us on the phones if you must, if you want to. Must. I was thinking of a specific caller. Not currently in the queue, but I'm not invoking his name. I'm not saying Candyman, Candyman, Candyman.
No, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Devils, devils, devils. More devils. Come on back. 844-96-PARTY.
Make them be doctors and lawyers.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
We're all thankful for the many blessings we've received this past year. Relatives and friends from near and far will descend on our homes to eat the biggest meal of the year. Watch football and then eat some more. And what happens next? Well, we all know what happens next. That's why right now is a great time to get your holding tanks and septic systems pumped out for the holiday season ahead. Call Crockett Septic today at 715-712-3456. Crockett Septic, where our trucks smell like sweet cherry pie because the pumpkin pie is all gone.
Woo-hoo! Crockett!
septic serves you near or far. Holding tanks and septics pumped right there in your yard. They got porta potties ready for you too. They'll pump away that stinky nasty poo. Crockett Septic, be there in a jiff. Crockett Septic, no more nasty whip. Crockett Septic, they won't make you cry. Their bumper trucks smell just like cherry pie.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news, talk, and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Bulls Advocates Radio Show. Join us on the phones, 844-967-2789.
Dominic, while we see the Trump boys fighting for their business lives in a fraud trial in New York, the flip side of that coin, have you seen the financial disclosures of the new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson? Apparently,
he doesn't have a bank account or not enough money in the bank account to meet the threshold requirement of disclosure.
He does not have a checking or savings account. I've seen it reported, although that seems illogical to me. Dom, where does he get his congressional paycheck deposited? Is he running down to a check and go? I mean, the man's making $184,000 a year at his day job. So first and foremost, don't feel too bad for this speaker supposedly living paycheck to paycheck, Dom. But they're seeking sympathy over on the Foxy News for the man. Claim that Speaker Johnson lives paycheck to paycheck makes him relatable, says defenders. Yeah, like Scott Walker was when he was negative $73,500 on his financial disclosure statements the day he decided he was going to go run for governor, or pardon me, president.
President, yes.
He was almost $100,000 in the hole.
Yeah, but now he's making like 800 strong, leading the Young Americas Foundation.
Got the house in Pewaukee and a different place. Down my understanding, two houses, this guy.
Hey, it's just an investment into the future, Crudy.
Some Americans rallied behind House Speaker. I love my source, Foxy News Digital. Some people are saying Americans rallied behind House Speaker Mike Johnson on Wednesday after a report nitpicked his personal finances and put a harsh spotlight on the possibility he lives paycheck to paycheck. Dom, the Daily Beast published a report headline: Does new Speaker of the House Mike Johnson have a bank account? ? Which featured a subhead that said he has never listed a bank account on his financial disclosure. In fact, on his newest disclosure, he doesn't list a single asset at all. The man has no assets. Between assets, Dom.
Church. He gives it all to the church and lets the church run it.
I'm less clear that that's the case. Over the course of 7 years, Johnson has never reported a checking or savings account in his name, nor in the name of his wife or any of his children, disclosures show. In fact, he doesn't appear to have money stashed in any investments, with his latest filing covering 2022 showing no assets whatsoever. Again, that according to the reporting over at the Daily Beast. Of course, it's unlikely Johnson doesn't actually have a bank account, Sullenberger, the reporter, said. What's more likely is Johnson lives paycheck to paycheck, so much so that he doesn't have enough money in his bank account to trigger the checking account disclosure rules for members of Congress. Well, that's the people's house, Dom. And many Americans rush to Speaker Johnson's defense, with everyone from elected officials to cable news pundits, you know, the entire Fox News cast and Matt Gaetz.
They all got the memo.
Here is what Matt Gaetz was tweeting out in his support. The Daily Beast is furious that Ed Speaker Johnson isn't rich, corrupt, or rich from being corrupt. He doesn't have a shady business deals. Are you describing Trump's resume right now, Matt Gaetz?
Sounds like it.
He doesn't trade stocks as a congressman. Cry more, I guess? ? And then there's Rep. Chip Roy from Texas, also a Republican, Dom. A lot of Republican support. Lauren Boebert will be next, but I got a couple more. Let me just throw them out there for you.
All right.
So to the extent accurate, he's like a lot of Americans right now, while also navigating raising a large family. What a monster. Well, I would point out, The average American family is not living paycheck to paycheck at $185,000 a year. The average family makes like 75 grand a year, and they're struggling. Some are. I know a lot of people are. I talk to them, Dom. People are struggling to pay the bills. They see the raise at, especially the cost of food, is affecting many people's households. But it's hard to, you know, it's hard to feel bad for a guy who's making $185,000 a year living paycheck to paycheck, Dom. With no assets, no retirement, no bank accounts. Is he doing it like Clarence Thomas does over at the Supreme Court? Does he just get by, you know, on the graces of rich friends?
Yes.
Because that's what Scott Walker did for years and years, right? That's what Ron DeSantis is doing through his super PAC. Well, he has a super PAC, invite him to an event, and then they fly him down there private because he doesn't like to fly commercial, Dom. And then he arrives, and that, of course, is a blatant skirting of campaign finance laws. But who needs to own a private jet when your donors do?
Yeah.
And that's how Scott Walker did it for years, right? They just give millions of dollars. And all his buddies were moving those millions around, and they got to take 15% off the top. So a lot of his buddies, talking about Scott Walker's buddies, they were doing quite well. But Wanker didn't even have a good suit, Dom. Driving a Saturn, eating bologna and, oh, my bad, ham and cheese. He had quite...
Brown bagging it, yes.
Falling listen, down to bologna standards.
I like bologna. whether or not the guy lives paycheck to paycheck, you know, that's certainly tough. A lot of folks do, and we can understand that. My greater concern is what is he not reporting? Is there something to report? Is he skirting the issue? You know, is he playing games somehow? I mean, presumably, his wife had this. Remember the Christian consulting business for a while, and he's in Congress, so they're making money, right? So where is it going? I mean, I don't know what the threshold is, $5,000 maybe. I don't know what the actual limits are, but if it's hard to imagine how you could get a direct deposit, $180,000 divided by 26 weeks. That probably deposit, you know, meets that whatever threshold there is. I don't know, but I am concerned. I don't know how you can have a Speaker of the House that lists zero assets. And I'm not concerned because I think, oh, he doesn't know how to manage his money or those kinds. I'm concerned because it seems odd to be in that position and now in that position of power to have nothing to report to the American people. That just seems odd to me.
I do have a little problem with this budgeting standards, Dom. If this man is supposed to be the Speaker of the House, he is supposed to effectively move the checkbook of the American people. And this guy can't do a little better job managing? Or can't be a little more transparent in his disclosure? Which I suspect is the greater problem. 844-967-2789. Tom from McFarland. How you doing, Tom?
Hey, Tom.
Hello, guys. Thanks for taking my call. And I think now we understand why the Republicans are so hot to trot to defund the IRS. Because I'm quite confident that they do not want the IRS taking a look at Johnson's finances. This is not a matter of living paycheck to paycheck. This is entirely a matter of just hiding something. Keep in mind that before he went into Congress, he certainly listed a bank account, as seen on his podcast, which had to disclose financials. So there was certainly an account that was listed when they were doing the podcast, and he's still continuing to do the podcast. No, he went underground the minute that he entered Congress. So that right there tells me there's something going on. He also has a mortgage, which he's paying. He has insurance. He has a cell phone. So it's obvious he has expenses.
Well, you know, cash is good for any expense, public or private, unless I'm paying Dom, which I may never do. Come back. More Devils.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't divulge information about that customer's secret illegal account.
Waukesha. Home.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Democratic state lawmakers want to be ready in case Wisconsin's restrictive abortion law is struck down. Three bills would eliminate requirements like healthcare workers needing admitting privileges at nearby hospitals and exams before abortions. A lawsuit challenging the state's abortion ban is currently before a Dane County judge. She's indicated she's likely to strike the law down soon. People who take part in the World Naked Bike Ride are defending the event to state lawmakers who are considering shutting it down. That's after a 10-year-old girl took part this June and photos of her went up on social media. Madison authorities say no laws were broken. Organizers in a public hearing yesterday say the World Naked Bike Ride protests climate change and promotes body positivity. Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Research shows that 18 to 24-year-olds are actually losing more money to scams than older age groups. Brittany Merlot has the story.
The Better Business Bureau shows the number one scam for that age group is employment. Scammers have been using job searching websites to target their victims, like LinkedIn, Indeed, or ZipRecruiter. Scammers use the information from your profile to contact you and offer you a fake job.
The BBB says if you're unsure if something is real or not, call the company you're interested in and ask them questions. Never give out personal information if you're uncertain. There's a new service to help families of children with special health care needs. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services launched Wisconsin Wayfinder, a children's resource network. It has a user-friendly website and toll-free helpline that lets families easily connect with real people who will help them access and connect with the vital resources they need to help their children thrive. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't...
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday. Wisconsin heads to Bloomington to face the Hoosiers. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m. on your home for Wisconsin football.
It's about effort. It's about intensity.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield on Wisconsin.
The Bucks get crushed by the Raptors. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing to the Raptors in Toronto, 130-111. Toronto shot 56% from the field, hit 15 three-point shots, and were 13 out of 14 from the foul line. What happened defensively to the Bucks? Head coach Adrian Griffin.
Defensively? I didn't think we did a good job as far as keeping the ball in front. You know, too many points in the paint as far as kick-out threes.
The Bucks return to Milwaukee to host the New York Knicks Friday night. Tip-off time, 6:30. NFL, the Packers host the Rams Sunday, but L.A.'s quarterback Matthew Stafford, struggling with a thumb injury, Brett Rippon, could start at quarterback. Now, he's the nephew of quarterback Mark Rippon, who led Washington to a Super Bowl win in 1991. The Packers trying to break a four-game slump, wide receiver Christian Watson.
I just want to find a way to win. You know, I've never been okay with losing. I want to compete. I want to win. You just got to find a way to do it.
That's the Packers' Christian Watson with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. 31 tonight, under partly cloudy skies, southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for scattered showers tomorrow, 48. Lows around 26 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 45.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Girls and boys in poverty around the world are dreaming of a better life and a brighter future. Children International and friends like you are giving these children a chance to achieve their dreams by ensuring that they have access to health care, education, life skills, and more, so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves. Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I'm being chastised on the text line, Dom. Hey, Crudy.
What'd you do?
Quit hating on bologna sandwiches.
Yeah, man.
You're going to make me and Dom cry, says Andrew. Andrew also says the caller who cannot be named. We know who he is. He has not been invoked, so no, there will be no time made. Not in the short run. Let's see what else we got here. Here's a question from a 920 texter. Something I've been curious about. I have many, many curiosities. Can a person have an LLC, have all the income go to the LLC, and then have the LLC pay them a salary? My first blush is yes. I owned an LLC once upon a time. I derived a salary from the LLC. And in fact, I personally was also responsible for any taxation on profit at a lower tax rate, at a different tax rate, because I didn't have to pay FICA, SUTA, or the employer or employee taxes on that, let's call it, profit portion of my income. So you pay W-2 to yourself for a certain portion, and then the rest are dividends, and they're taxed at, what, 15%? Same as long-term cap gains. So that's how I played the game, and that's how my accountant set it up. I always rely upon my accountants and the experts.
Yes, that's very, very wise, sage advice, Curdy. But if you're referring to Speaker Mike Johnson to divert money that he would, but he would still, because the U.S. government's paying him, right? He gets the check. Now, he could take that check, deposit it, and then take all the funds and divert it into an LLC for a purpose, I guess. But he would have to have an owner contribution to the LLC unless he's deriving revenue for that LLC, that corporate limited liability corporation, through some business, a service or manufacturing something. He's got to sell something. He's got to make revenue. If you're just going to self-fund it from your W-2 from the government, I'm not sure exactly what you'd be hiding or what you'd get away with in doing so.
Well, another texter on the WAUK line, the 414, has a speculation where Speaker Mike Johnson's money all went, spent on gambling and whores. Yeah. Now, Dom, you had sent
a lot of bingo at church, man.
You had sent a little piece to me. The what would you say about Ivanka? Poor Ivanka being hauled into court to testify against her daddy next week. Wednesday is her anticipated date. But the CNBC is reporting, Dom, she's hesitant to go because that's right in the middle of the school week.
Ivanka Trump asked a New York appeals court to pause the $250 million fraud trial of her family and its business empire as she appeals a judge's order requiring her to testify in the case next week. The request to stay the entire trial came at the tail end of a Thursday court filing argument that Ivanka Trump will face, quote unquote, undue hardship if forced to testify, in part because she's scheduled to appear, quote, in the middle of a school week.
Is she gonna bake the brownies? What's the deal?
New York Attorney General Tish James urged the appeals court to reject the request, calling it a drastic and baseless move that would upend an ongoing trial. Ivanka Trump's filing in the First Judicial Department of the New York Supreme Court Appellate Division mainly sought a temporary stay of the order for her testimony while she pursues an appeal. On Wednesday, her attorney filed notice. She's appealing each and every part of Manhattan Supreme Court Judge Arthur Engoron's order rejecting her bid to avoid the witness stand. She's currently expected to begin testifying on Wednesday. It's the middle of the school week. Didn't your husband just get like $2 billion from the Saudis? Can't get a car.
You're implying they could afford an au pair or perhaps a nanny, Dom.
I'm suggesting that would be the
maybe
case. No.
Maybe they could run down a Quick Trip and buy some pre-made brownies for the bake sale. Maybe
maybe Mike Johnson could come over and watch the kids for a couple hours while she's testifying. Apparently, maybe he needs the babysitting money.
Now, Dom, there's a new careful. Don't want to link too many Republican speakers with babysitters, Dom. But wanted to talk about the new efforts to block Donald Trump from the ballot. And today, or very recently, it's being reported he's disqualified. Minnesota Supreme Court hears arguments on Trump's ballot eligibility. And something else is going on. Another concurrent trial happening in Colorado right now, Dom.
Yeah, yeah.
If he gets blocked from enough ballots, dude, he's got no chance, even though he might be the designated Republican. I think he will be, but we'll argue about that at a different time and place. Election attorney Ron Fine told the Minnesota Supreme Court on Thursday, that's today, Dom, that former President Donald Trump should be considered, and here's his quote, disqualified from the presidential ballot until he receives amnesty from Congress
for
leading an insurrection on January 6, 2021. Now, when he said that, my immediate reaction is, oh, God, what's the standard for being granted amnesty? Because you got MAGA Mike Johnson over there as Speaker of the House, right? Could this happen? Well, let's tell the people what the standard would be. First and foremost, a little more of the reporting at the Raw story here, Dom. At the hearing before the court, Fain seemed to take the position that Trump could not be placed on the state's ballot because of his actions on January 6th. The 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution bars insurrectionists from running for office. And at one point during Fain's presentation, he touched on the extremely, and I mean this is extremely hypothetical possibility, that Congress could provide amnesty to Trump under the Constitution, Dom. Two-thirds of Congress would have to vote to exempt him if he participated in an insurrection. Two-thirds, both houses. A little bit more here. It is extremely speculative that Trump would receive amnesty from two-thirds of both houses of Congress, Fain explained. He hasn't even asked for amnesty to the state, and this court has said that it does not decide questions that are purely hypothetical. They leave that to the U.S. Supreme Court, right, Dom? Fain concluded, he's disqualified unless and until two-thirds of Congress, both houses, grant him amnesty. They will not, Tom.
They will not. Also, MSNBC has this up, an interview with conservative retired jurist Judge Luttig. Remember Judge Luttig? He testified at the January 6th committee hearing, talking specifically about the 14th Amendment. Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, the judge says, disqualifies any person having taken an oath to support the Constitution of the United States, thereafter engages in an insurrection or rebellion against the Constitution of the United States, disqualifying that person from holding high public office in the future, including the presidency. So it's more than just a prescription that and disqualification for anti-democratic conduct by an individual, but in this circumstance, the judge says, it is that, and it would apply in this instance to disqualify the former president from holding the presidency again because of his effort, plan, and attempt to overturn the 2020 presidential election, knowing he had lost that election to then candidate Joe Biden. He goes on, this is very, very important. Section 3 disqualifies one who has engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the Constitution of the United States, not an insurrection or rebellion against the United States or the authority of the United States. And so that's the issue in Colorado and in Minnesota and in other states that are currently involved in the constitutional process to determine whether the former president is disqualified. A question from the journalist. What do you think of the criticism that suggests it's wrong to keep Trump off the ballot using this process as opposed to letting the voters decide, quote unquote, as a critic would say? Judge Luttig responds, I have seen that criticism, if you will, of applying Section 3 to the former president. And it concerned me because it's a legitimate question to be asked. But I've responded publicly to that concern by explaining that the disqualification that's provided under Section 3 is not itself anti-democratic at all. Rather, it's the conduct that can result in disqualification under the 14th Amendment that the Constitution says is anti-democratic. So there's no question whatsoever that disqualification of an individual who satisfies the condition of disqualification in Section 3 is not anti-democratic. Again, it's the conduct that gives rise to disqualification that the Constitution tells us is anti-democratic. And I've heard this also brought up. You also have to be a citizen of this country. If you're not, you can't be on the ballot. You also have to be a certain age to run for president. If you're not, you can't be on the ballot. So there are, I mean, I'm down with this, man. And I think I know it's you know, the Minnesota right now, Minnesota Supreme Court is hearing this. The Hill is reporting an effort to keep Trump off the ballot under the 14th Amendment reached the Minnesota Supreme Court on Thursday. The case brought by a left-leaning nonprofit, one of multiple across the country, seeking to prevent Trump from returning to the presidency under the clause, which provides that anyone who took an oath of office to support the Constitution and then engaged in insurrection cannot hold office. Thursday's arguments concerned several legal issues the nonprofit must prevail on so their case can move ahead. One, does the clause apply to presidents? Can the provision be enforced without legislation from Congress? Is the issue a political question outside of the court's authority? Five Minnesota Supreme Court justices, four of whom were appointed by Democrats, are weighing the case after two others on the court recused. Several justices Thursday expressed concerns about the various threshold issues. I think your argument about the political question doctrine is, I think that's a very serious problem for the other side in this case. Barry Anderson, a judge, told Trump's attorney. So this is out there. This is obviously in Colorado and in Minnesota. Should be in every state as far as I'm concerned. But we do have age requirements. We have citizenship requirements. We also have, you can't be an insurrectionist bastard requirements. And I think Donald Trump certainly squarely falls into that. Let's not forget, for 3 hours, he did nothing while his supporters beat the hell out of your thin blue line police officers, Republicans. And you seem okay with that. And then Senator Johnson, telling us, oh, no, they were peaceful protesters. They stayed inside the velvet ropes and they give the recordings to Tucker Carlson and show, oh, look, the crazy people are just wandering around. It's all peaceful. Yeah, it's all peaceful and fine. They stayed in the velvet ropes until they didn't, until they broke in the windows, until they crapped all over the walls, and until they beat the hell out of cops with flags and clubs and sticks. I mean, this is I can't believe this is even a question. Of course he engaged in it. And what'd he do when he finally said go home? They went home. So for 3 hours, he engaged in and let his supporters beat the hell out of cops to stop and go against the United States Constitution. I think it's very clear. Are they going to have the moxie to do it? Who knows? But I don't know. What other example do you need? It's very evident.
I need a conviction. That would be the standard.
No, it is not the standard.
Even Kareem. Trump is entitled to due process. He is getting a trial right now before the Minnesota Supreme Court. And he's also got a trial going on in the state of Colorado right now. And here are a couple of the witnesses called today. Representative Ken Buck, Republican from Colorado, and Eric Swalwell for the prosecution in Colorado. Prosecution being those seeking to block Trump from being on the ballot. But Ken Buck took the stand today in a case attempting to disqualify the former President Trump from appearing on the 2024 ballot in Colorado. And with the GOP congressman appearing as a witness on behalf of the Trump campaign's attorneys, attempting to discredit the House Select Committee that investigated the J6 dump. The case centers on whether Trump's actions and speeches during and before the J6 riots could fall under the clause of the 14th Amendment that bans those who participate or assist in insurrection from federal office. Now, the plaintiffs have argued that Trump's actions supported the rioters who eventually stormed the Capitol amid Congress's official Electoral College count vote for the 2020 election. Trump lost that one, Dom, if you were unaware. Buck, now understand, he is a witness for Trump. Here is what he said. Buck described a chaotic scene on January 6th as Capitol Police attempted to barricade the House chamber from approaching rioters. A police officer came to the microphone and said that tear gas had been dispersed, and we were advised that there were gas masks under our seats and we should deploy those gas masks. There was clear indication there was a danger at that point. I came back to my office rather than the secure committee room, and I saw on TV what was going on, and I thought, oh my goodness, there's a lot of people out there. Is that what you thought? Ken Buck went on to testify that he asked Kevin McCarthy to put him on the January 6th committee so he could cross-examine the witnesses. Despite the chaos, he is describing in testimony as a witness for Trump. He wanted to be on Team Trump at the J6. No real representation except for Liz and Adam Kinzinger. Liz Cheney, that is. More devils come back.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Whether we're digging a neighbor out of the snow, A lot of schools talk about training the cybersecurity workforce of the future, but do they really deliver? My Computer Career has been supplying the IT workforce with thousands of skilled, certified pros for 15 years. Train with the experts in support, networking, or cybersecurity and start your career in months, not years. Upskill even faster. On campus or live online, qualified students may get financial aid, including the GI Bill. My Computer Career. Accredited, acclaimed, effective. Take the free career evaluation at mycomputercareer.edu.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's different.
You can choose your mood. You can choose to, well, you know what? I didn't get much sleep last night, but I'm still going to have a good day, or still going to give it all I can, or be in a good spirit when I do the morning show today.
That's what I do every day with you, too.
I was going to say, what, you mean my normal mood of what, mild contempt for everyone around me? Okay, yeah, that's usually what I'm doing, yeah.
Sarcasm extraordinaire.
Weekdays from 8 to 10 a.m. right here on Locally Grown Radio.
Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
And we are back. We're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now at 844-967-2789. Stick around. The Maggie Dawn Show coming up next.
Dominic, don't forget, support our friends at the Walworth County Democratic Party with a one-year-to-win gala fundraiser this Saturday night. I will be amongst the very fine speakers. Mostly, the fine speakers are not named Crudy. They include Sarah Godlewski, Greta Neubauer, and Minority Leader of the State Senate, our friend Melissa Agard. And then I'll be there just, you know, talking between the smart people. Dom, that is a fundraiser, but they got culinary delights, cash bar, live music, friends, and speakers, and a cork pull in an epic silent auction. Epic.
Epic.
Be there. One last thought here. Lake Lawn Resort, Delavan, Wisconsin, this Saturday, November 4th, 5 to 9 p.m. Bring your checkbook. Give a few bucks to the Walworth County Democratic Party. They do good work.
Crudy, your buddy, George Santos. You brought him up earlier. Let's get to that before we run out of time again. 844.
He looks more like you than me. I don't wear glasses.
The Hill reporting, a total of 31 Democrats joined 182 Republicans in voting to keep George Santos in Congress Wednesday, killing a Republican-led effort to oust the embattled lawmaker. Huh?
The He's lower a chamber greater voted, embarrassment in the House, Dom.
I mean, lower chamber voted 213, 179, 9, and 19 against the resolution to expel Santos, making the second unsuccessful attempt this year to eject the first-term lawmaker from the House. A two-thirds threshold is needed to expel a member of Congress. A total of 31 Democrats and 182 Republicans voted against the resolution, while 24 Republicans and 155 Democrats voted to expel Santos. Of course, he faces 23 federal charges ahead of his trial slated to begin September 2024. He pled not guilty last week to a set of 10 new criminal charges in a superseding indictment. In May, he was charged on 13 counts of misleading donors, fraudulently receiving unemployment benefits, and lying on House financial disclosures. So, I mean, obviously some political strategy, games, however you want to call it, going on here. I don't know why you wouldn't want to kick the guy out, but look at some of these Democrats who voted to keep him on. Gwen Moore from Wisconsin, Jamie Raskin, Zoe Lofgren. I mean, these are folks that I respect. So obviously there's, to my interpretation here, there's some political games and shit going on, but why wouldn't you want just to get rid of the guy? So there we go. I mean, I guess he's a greater liability for the Republicans leaving him in there, but he's also a greater liability for America leaving him in there. But you know, what do I know about politics?
Come on, Dom. 434, 435. What's the difference? One George Santos? You never know when they might have to oust another speaker, though. They might need his vote, though.
When they come for George Santos next, they're coming for... Yeah, they come for Trump, they came for George Santos, and they're coming for you next. No! Just don't be a fraudulent bastard. They're probably not going to happen. You'll be fine.
844-967-2789. We've got a couple of texters. Now, here, and this one, I hate to take on this late in the show, Dom, because by the texter's own admission, this is not a very popular opinion. Texter on the WMDX line, 92.7 line, says, my take on January 6th. Again, this is not very popular, but you also have to look at what happened the summer before. Peaceful protests followed by thuggish riots in many cities, including Madison and State Street. And I think what the texter is referring to is there was a peaceful Black Lives Matter protest in this town. Both Michael Johnson and I were in attendance that day. Brandy Grayson, she does a show around here. Very peaceful event. And then like an hour and a half later, people are kicking in windows down on State Street where we now reside here as Civic Media. And this texter says, peaceful protests followed by thuggish riots in many cities, including Madison and State Street. Police officers were told that even the riots were simply peaceful protests. I'm not clear that that's the case, but I'm just reading someone else's text. So here's the conclusion of the texter, Dom. So when January 6th happened, they just said, well, it's not riots. It's a peaceful protest. And they let them in. It didn't strike me as being a peaceful protest. You know, when they were knocking on the doors with like shields they had taken from Capitol Police officers. And when they were shooting the bear spray, Dom, you know, I was at the Black Lives Matter protest, air quotes here in Madison, seemed like a peaceful event. Didn't see any bear spray. Didn't see any attempts to accost police officers, Capitol or otherwise. I just don't recall those things, texter, happening. So I get that that's been the narrative on the Foxy News. Well, they burned down cities all across America. Did they? Did they being Black Lives Matter? No, not to most of the facts I've seen subsequently, where it was usually either outside instigators or some other people that had their own agenda. But what I cannot analogize, what I cannot say is the same, is what happened on January 6th. They were specifically targeting Capitol Police officers. They were specifically targeting the peaceful transfer of power here in the United States, Tom.
They were specifically targeting the Constitution, Curdy. I mean, that's the case. And you know, the Black Lives Matter protests, having a protest against cops killing an inordinate amount of unarmed black men. I mean, these are entirely different situations. And yes, any protest can get out of control. And you certainly have instigators. I think there was one in Minneapolis, some guy from Texas, you know, helped start a bunch of that stuff. And, you know, when the mob rules, people go along. Those things happen. But generally speaking, Curdy, I these are entirely different situations and for entirely different causes. I mean, the Donald Trump summoned the mob. He sent the mob to the Capitol, right? To what? To intimidate.
Go peacefully.
Go to hang.
You know,
Mike
some Pence? Republican's going to say, go peacefully. He said it. So that exempts him from any culpability for everything else
Al Capone said have a nice day one time before a bunch of people got murdered in his name. That doesn't take away from the fact that he organized this thing, he promoted this thing, and he sat on his ass while his supporters, while the Trump Davidians attacked the police on the Capitol, man.
Dominic, want to thank our most recent, earlier guest, Adam Voskel with Midwest Environmental Advocates. Thanks for coming to talk about CAFOs. Tomorrow on the big show, we got Nick Ramos from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Bringing Nick back for Friday Grievances. You all better come back for Friday Grievances. Now, don't forget, stick around. Maggie Dawn, the second greatest radio show ever, the Maggie Dawn Show. It's up next. You're going to want to stick around for that. And then, Raised in the Wisco with our pal Joel Clayfish. Keep it locked. Civic Media, thanks for listening.
Broadcasting to Waukesha. Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you. Now is your chance to be there when Badger football takes the field this season. With limited games remaining this year, it's time to act now and secure your tickets for Northwestern and Nebraska this November. Tickets are selling fast. Lock in your spot for game day today. For more information and to purchase your Wisconsin football tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
CBS News Brief. At least 74 Americans escaped the violence in Gaza today, but many more are waiting for their chance at the Rafah border. CBS's Chris Livesay is in Egypt.
People that we're talking to are dual passport holders. These are American citizens, but they've got